Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Triple A's Let's Talk Black Culture with your host, Sienna Mayadoramadi Stubbs. And we've got a really exciting episode today. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which I am recording, the Yuggera and Turrbal people. And I would like to extend that welcome and that acknowledgement out to all of the lands that you are listening to this program from. It's important to remember that these always were sovereign countries, and we stand on land that has never been ceded. So now that we have properly come to the episode, I'd love to welcome our special guest today, Sean Mills from Kicked In Biki Tin, from the rich black soil plains of Moree in northwest New South Wales, emerges Kicked In Biki Tin. Three fun-loving mates from out the... Oh, let me do that again. I actually might just intro you there,
okay,
if that's all good.
Okay. That's cool.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Good, thank you. That was a really good introduction. I like that.
here's your bio. I've looked it up. It says, from the rich black soil plains of Moree in northwest New South Wales emerges Kicked In Biki Tin. Three.
We are surrounded.
Yay, that's awesome. Tell me more about... where you're from and who you are, Sean Mills.
So, yeah, we're from Moree, New South Wales. It's just an hour from the Queensland border, still in New South Wales. Beautiful town. You know, we've lived here our whole life, and, you know, three of us have just started a funny band called Kicked In Biki Tin. So, yeah, we're trying to do something and spread the good word of Moree is the goal.
I love that. So... this is like, you know, equally for myself. What's it like living in Moree? And, you know, these are small towns that you don't often hear about, but myself personally coming from a small town, I know how much character it has and the beauty that's held within, you know, these special small places. Can you tell us what it was like growing up in Moree?
Well, it was actually... to be honest, I wouldn't do it any other way because, you know, growing up in these small towns, everyone's so close and, you know, because it's such a small community, everyone kind of knows everyone. So, you know, you go for a walk down the main street and which is only maybe 100 to 200 metres. And then, yeah, everyone kind of knows who you are. And, you know, it's just a really, really friendly town. And that's what comes really good with, I think, living in small country towns like that. Although, I mean, you're like 5-6 hours away from the coast. Mm. I don't know. Like there's something about living in a small town that some people probably won't ever experience, but it's such a tight knit community and it's, you know, it's really, I think it's really nice. It's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. Before we go into that, I want to take it back to who you are. Like, what's your story, Sean? And who are you? Who's your mob? Where you're from?
Of course,
How'd you come to be here?
So I'm a Gamilaroi man. We've lived in Moree our whole life and my whole family as well, like on dad's side and mum's side, we've all lived in the same place, tight-knit community. But yeah, it's like I said, it's a very, everyone knows everyone here and it's really sweet.
I love that. What makes Moree Moree?
that is a funny question. obviously the people, you know, like we could be, I think we could, Moree could be in a, in a different area, but like I think it's the people here that make it so special. Like, you know, like I'd always say like there's just the people are different here in Moree. Like they're just they're really nice and they're really welcoming, and you just wouldn't expect to drive through a town and there'd be such good people here. I know I'm like talking it up a lot, but I've lived here my whole life. Like, this is what it's like.
Yeah. What do you do? What's there to do on the weekends there?
That is another good question. We've had a lot of friends, so we just all hang out and, you know, do our thing. But look, there's not a great deal. It's not a lot of stuff, especially when I was growing up. There was never a lot of stuff to do. Like I think the main thing was like you know, going back to when I was 15. Like we had a skate park.
Yeah,
you
I love
know,
it.
Go fishing and stuff and. Well, there's a rope swing, just little stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess that reminds me of my upbringing. And when you come from a small town, you're sort of, you go back to that answer of, oh, there's nothing much to do. But the reality is you find things to entertain yourselves, and it actually becomes there's a little bit more beauty in that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, obviously coming up as a kid, you got a pretty good imagination, so I mean, that helps.
Yeah. And so then that brings me to like the band. What is Kicked In Bicky Tin, first of all? And can you tell us how yous came to be?
So I'll tell you, so Kicked In Bicky Tin was, we had a friend mention it one day, and it was actually one time we're at a pub. It's called the Victorian Hotel, you know, small, known as like the Vic. And, you know, it was because it was so close to the mission, it was mainly like an, wasn't like a whole Aboriginal pub, but like that's mainly where we'd all go. Yeah, we just one day there was a guy there. I didn't really know who he was. I'd never seen him there ever, and he was saying to us, because we were the only young people in the pub, he was saying, "You guys have a head like a kicked in Bicky Tin," and he was calling us ugly. He was calling us ugly, yeah. And I just look, we weren't insulted. We were just like, damn, that kind of stuck with us.
Yeah,
and then we just thought. One day we're trying to come up with a band name. One day it was going to be Chinese Takeaway Container, and then one of the guys mentioned, "Oh, remember that time we got called ugly at that pub?" And he called us a Kicked In Bicky Tin. So yeah, just kind of, there's no name like it, and we thought it was good. So we kind of ran with it, and then the way the band kind of happened was I was still at school. I was doing Year 12, and we'd go to our grandmother's place, our nan's place, and she'd have this shed out the back, and it started off as something, you know, a couple friends come in and play some music. We were like a four or a five piece back then, and I mean, if anyone else is listening who's in a band, they would know how hard it is to get all five members in the same shed at the same time to a jam. It was tough.
Yeah.
So over time, we kind of got smaller and smaller, and then we met this guy at the pub, John, who's our bass guitar, and yeah, we heard he done music, and he come around one day, and yeah, like the rest is kind of history. But like, we could be a 10-year-old band, and you probably wouldn't even know. But that's how long it's taken us to kind of figure ourselves out. But yeah, only the last 3 years has been kind of big for us.
Yeah, no, I love that story. I feel like that's the same for, you know, that's the same sort of story that everyone, you know, comes to. It's not an easy process. And it usually takes a really long time to sort of find that sweet spot. I've read it's sort of your style is easy to love indie punk rock music. Stretching from outback landscape to bustling cityscape.
Yeah, of course.
How would you, is that how you would explain your music?
Yeah, I would kind of explain it. Because we're going through this period where we're trying to work out whether, I mean, I would mainly call it like kind of surfy, rocky, I'm not really out with the genres of
yeah,
music,
yeah, yeah.
So like I kind of can't put ourselves in like this little category.
Mm.
But I'd always say like, you know, it's just some surf, country, rock. I don't know. It's a bit of a hard one to
Well, that reminds me of part of my family, you know, King Stingray.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they're so cool.
You know, I'm Yolngu and they're Yolngu. That's like full of my nephews and sons there. And I would say that their music is sort of, is always put into that Yolngu surf rock. So you've just basically explained that. Maybe
maybe on a lower level.
Yeah,
you know?
No. Go Milleroy surf rock or something like that.
You could take that. Yeah, because there's always little bands here. Like there are bands here in Moree. But yeah, I feel like we all kind of almost sound the same in some kind of sense, you know, like we've all grown up and we've like seen our uncles and, you know, all our aunts and all in these bands and, you know, you kind of think like, how cool is that? Like, I just want to copy what they're doing and then they do everything to help you out.
Yeah.
Again, this small town fever stuff, like it's really sweet.
Yeah. Tell me about that, about how, you know, you look to whether it be your uncles or auntie and... You know, for Yolngu and for First Nations people, we're always reaching to family for that creative spark.
Of course.
Because that's just how we do it, right? How does that impact your form as a band and yourself as a musician or person?
I think it does a lot. Like I said, my father, he was in the band with a couple of these guys. All his cousins and stuff. And I don't know, as a kid, I was just, they'd bring out the old cassette, what are they called?
The cassette tape.
Yeah, are they cassette tape? But like,
yeah, mixtape.
The tape where you put it. You know how the ones you put in the DVD player? And
yeah, CDs.
Even CDs, yeah. Like they have all old videos of themselves. Like
VHS tapes, eh?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
So they'd have all those and you'd watch them and I don't know, something like inspired me one day.
Mm.
And then, you know, I was pretty young. I think I was 8. And growing up, you know, one of my cousins, his name's Stephen Swan. So he was in this band and I just thought it was so cool. And he was always so approachable and he's always trying to help you out and stuff. And you know, you go there and when we first started the band, like they let us open for him one time.
Hey.
And it was the coolest thing ever. And I remember that always resonated with me. It always stuck with me. And from there on, like they just helped us out, lent us all their gear.
Wow.
It was good. And then eventually when they finished their band, they sold us all their music equipment under one circumstance. As long as we share it and do the same thing they done. So, yeah, we go out and we let, you know, whoever wants to borrow it, if you don't have gear to play a gig, whatever, come and see us. And we always like, you know, yeah, it's just like, it's such a, like just sharing all that stuff's crazy.
Yeah.
That music equipment's been passed on for years and years and years. Like,
oh my gosh.
A very long time.
I love that story. Shout out your dad. What's his name?
Oh, Matthew Mills. He lives in Ballina now. Lucky thing along the coast, trying to grow his hair out.
Hey, and so how do you remain true to those roots? And also, I was wondering about this. How do you stay true to those roots, but then also try and dip your toes in the mainstream? I feel like that's a balancing act that heaps of First Nations mob and musicians in particular are trying to find the balance.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel like you do that?
Well, I think we always remember where we come from. And like I said, it always comes back to everyone just being so nice here in Moree. It's helped us, you know, come into, say, the city and we just, you know, we've come from a good place. So like we just treat everybody the same, you know, like...
Mm.
But yeah, it's always good to look back from where you come from, and yeah, we just take that in. Like when we have a gig in the city, we take that exact same kind of mindset with us, and yeah, that like I said, that's helped us out a lot.
Yeah, I think that's so important, and it sounds like you've got that right balance and that right mindset there.
Yeah, we tried to. Like I said, it always comes back to good old Maury. Like, we just remember where we're from and we're proud of it.
I love it. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Let's Talk Black Culture with Sienna Mayador Maddie Stubbs, and I'm talking to Sean Mills from the deadly band Kicked In Bicky Tin. I used to be in a band in school, believe it or not.
Oh, nice.
I was a singer.
Oh,
and our band, it's very cliche, but we were called A+. But it's tricky to sort of find that balance in a band, and how you even each other out. How do you guys sort of figure out the roles of what yous do? And, you know, I should have checked in. What's your main role in the band?
Oh, so I'm the singer, guitarist, and then...
Deadly.
Then we have a drummer and a bass guitarist. Super easy. It works every time. Three-piece.
Nice.
It's real easy for us. But the way we connect and balance ourselves is, you know, so the drummer is, he's my first cousin. Like, our mothers are sisters. So we grew up together, and we were always known at school as like the two cousins that really look alike. So I was always called Zach, and Zach was always called Sean. And I mean, through all that time, we've just grown up to, we essentially are brothers, you know, like we are brothers with other mothers, you know.
I think that's so important as a band to have that gel, right?
Yeah, family. Yeah, it's strong.
That's awesome. So, sorry. Do you find any? What's the energy like between you guys? Like, of course, you have some off days sometimes, but most of the time you're on good wave.
Well, I think we can read each other's minds. If anyone's listening to who is in a band, like, something special happens to you on stage. You can practice all day and, you know, trying to get everything right, and it does stress you out a little bit. But being on stage, just the tiniest mistake, like, it doesn't matter. Like, something happens to you up there and everyone just, it's crazy. Everyone connects real good. You could probably agree when you're in the band at the school. Like,
yeah.
Everyone just gels together really, really nice. I think that's the connection we all kind of have, like, you know. I can read his mind and he weirdly can read mine as well. I don't know how we've done it.
I think that's
sunk up.
Yeah, that's awesome. I get what you mean. You sort of, you can't explain it, but it's just that magic that happens.
Something happens, yeah. Something does. I don't know what it is, some type of chemistry up there, but yeah, it always works.
I was going to say, do you have any difficulties as a First Nations person within this field?
I've actually found that a lot of people support. I feel like we get a bit more support just by, like, people knowing that. And it's been really good for us, especially, like, getting played on other radios and stuff. Like, they've always been really forthcoming and really, really supportive of us.
Yeah.
So I found, like, it's been really good for us, I think. People have been supporting us really well.
Yeah, I think it's awesome, like, the way that, you know, a lot of mob are getting recognised now. And, you know, for AAA, we've been, you know, sort of playing that music first and foremost for a long time since the radio station began. But it's really important for young mob musicians to be recognised and for us all to appreciate the talent that's coming out of us, because we are pretty talented, I got to admit.
Oh, yeah, we are too. I tell you, actually, I probably should give a shout out. There's an emerging artist coming from Moree called Kyla Bell.
Okay.
Like, she has a voice of an angel. It's crazy.
Hey.
She's really, really good. I mean, she's going to go a long, long way.
Yeah, well, we'll have to get her on the radio.
Oh, I think she'd be more than happy. Yeah, they're a beautiful family too.
That's awesome. I was going to say, I've had a little listen to a few of your songs, and you've definitely got a new monthly listener, I reckon. I love Deep End. That just came out recently. Hey.
Yeah, that's our new song, Deep End. Yeah, it was a bit of a headache to mix and do all that other stuff, but we got there. It took a lot longer than other songs.
yeah, we'll have to play it for the listeners. Do you have a favourite song that you guys have made or that you always go back to?
Yeah, our first one, Floor, it's like our firstborn child.
Mm-hmm.
That was the very, very first song. And I think coming from a band, like, I feel like your first song's important.
Mm.
Yeah, that song kind of tells a really nice story. And it just, yeah, that thing, it's my firstborn child.
I love that. So you're not embarrassed about that first song?
No, not at all.
Do you get embarrassed about any songs?
The thing is, when you go through the mixing, like I listen to the song over 100 times, and then by the end of it, when it's ready to go, you almost sit down and think, should I even release this? Like, you kind of think like, oh, I don't like it anymore. But it's because you overhear it. But I don't know. It's with the three of us. We're not all perfect, and neither is anyone else. So it's just good to get the music out there and the name and tell these people that we're from Moree and we're doing this kind of stuff. So, you know, anyone can.
Yeah. Do you get surprised about what songs go viral or are you trying to find a way to hit that sweet spot?
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like the storytelling, trying to tell a more accurate story opposed to, kind of repeating the same words. And I don't know, trying to find that good hook or that good flow of words is tough. And again, never in a million years would have I even thought I'd even write a song. But I don't know. I think it's probably bad to say, but it's a lot easier than you think. But I mean, going through the process of recording is not, but writing the song is probably the easiest part.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, what's your process of writing a song? And do you have any tips for any aspiring young mob who are trying to get into that and channel their singer-songwriter vibes?
Well, I always say that you've really got nothing to lose. I've been playing guitar for maybe 3 years. So when I first started writing music, I would just think of a guitar riff in my head and I'd write it down. Again, I'd never played guitar at all.
Mm.
And then it wasn't until 3 years ago when the band fully started is when we started playing guitar. And I think it was so much easier, but My word to you would be, you don't really need to be able to play guitar to write a song. Like you can write a song from thin air. You go tap on a bit of wood or tap on the ground or make some clicks with your finger. Like you can do anything. And again, like you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah. Do you think that the music, it sort of comes through? Like when you make your music, how do you find it comes to you? When you've been writing songs, like what's your process? How does it come to you?
It's always, I mean, now that I can play guitar, I'd always like find out what sounds nice.
Mm.
And then the next process would be what kind of, So we would play it together in the band room, just the chords, and then in my head I'd kind of maybe hum a bit of a riff or whatever, and you could sit there and hum that for an hour. I'm sure everyone would be keen to play it for an hour, but hum it,
yeah.
And then just start saying random words. That's kind of what I do. I start saying random words, even if they don't make sense. I just find out what sounds cool in that certain section.
Yeah.
And then you can always fill in the gaps there. I find it's easy to find out what sounds good at what section, and then always go back and fill in the gaps with, you know, the kind of story you're trying to tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I find it easier to write. Well, we've always done it that way.
Yeah. I love the way creatives and sort of you know, just as mob, the way that we come to make art. Do you do any other form of art or creativity? How do you sort of unleash that part of you when you're not playing music?
the thing here, I'm not really a drawer or an artist or whatever. Like, our main thing is to write music, and I feel like that takes a lot of our time away. So, you know, when I'm not doing that, I'm kind of working, which, I mean, I really love my job. I take a lot of time of it, and it's good because, you know, we always bring in and hire a lot of the mob. So that's probably my second most, probably next to music, that is my second focus, is that, you know,
can help
people out. So I'd say that's kind of my story of art.
Yeah, I love that. Can you share with us what that is?
Oh, my work?
Yeah, yeah. What do you do for work on the side when you're not doing music?
Yeah, so I work at a grain storage facility. So it's what they do is the farmers will go out and they'll, because we're in such a rich land where, like, there's farmers surrounded everywhere, they'll go out and, like, bring in their wheat, barley, chickpea, just all their seeds, and bring it into us, and we'll kind of store it.
Yeah.
We do this thing. It's harvest, so like 3 months of the year, it's just really, really crazy. So we hire like over 100, 150 people. You can pick and choose, or you can bring your friends in or whatever, and they just come and work crazy for 3 months.
Hey,
I know
true.
People who work that 3 months and don't work for the rest of the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's a crazy job. Like, it's there's a big operation they're doing over there. I don't know why they've left me in charge, but it's a big job over there.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to AAA's Let's Talk Black Culture with Sienna Stubbs, and we're speaking with Sean Mills. Where do you see Kicked In Bikisin going? Like, are there any places that you want to play in particular, or do you have any aspirations for the next year to come?
Well, we kind of only kept our tours to the East Coast, and like, we really, really enjoy playing in that Brisbane area down the valley, because they're all like small, it's kind of small bands like us as well. And
all
the bands down there, they're cool. They're so chill.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've only ever done it down that little stretch. So I'd love to go to Melbourne. I don't know. Like, I think the world's our oyster kind of thing.
Absolutely. This is the beginning. This is just the beginning, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And kind of like, where I see us, I don't really have a long-term vision for us. As long as we can be the band that kind of, you know, helps people, especially in our hometown, and just show them, you know, we can bring music out into these small towns. That's our aspiration.
Yeah. I feel like... That's the best way to, you know, to think when you're doing something creatively. Just because that creative fatigue can really get you sometimes, eh?
Yeah, it can. Yeah, it takes its toll. Especially, show after show, it does.
Yeah,
catch up with you.
How do you keep, you know, that strong, but then also, like, you know, bringing it back to Black culture? How do you keep those elements of yourself strong as a Gamilaroi person?
I don't know. We, like I said, what we do show after show, especially the Maori one. I know I talk about Maori a lot, but
that's important, right? You know, you got to bring it back to hometown.
we was given the one mission when we were given the music here, was to make sure music stays here in Moree. And again, like, it's just a small town fever thing. That's what's kind of motivates us. When we start our tour, we always do one in Moree, and it's the most, you know, you get the most out of it. Everyone's so excited, and you know, everyone in the crowd, and everyone's all forthcoming, and they want to be there.
Mm.
So that's always a really, really good start to the tour. And then, you know, you kind of go through there. But I don't know, I find that one of the best things, like the best things are like meeting other bands as well. Like, and they're all in the same kind of struggle street as you, just trying to make something of yourself, like of your band and where you come from. And I feel like that can be a struggle, but it also like it inspires you a little bit.
Yeah. I guess that's what keeps that inspiration going, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what other words, do you have words of motivation that sort of keep you going? I know it's tricky as a younger girl who, I moved here in 2021, and it's really hard, like, not having that connection back to home. So what keeps me going is sort of that vision that, you know, one day I'll go back, but for now I'm keeping that culture strong here. Do you think you, like, how do you feel like you keep Maury proud when you're out doing your thing?
Well, I know being in the band, like, there's not a lot. There's always talent here, and like everyone's always happy to stay, which is cool. Like, you know, do what you want to do, but you know, it's kind of something that always inspires me. And you know, sometimes you're feeling down, you always got to think like someone has it worse. Someone has it a lot worse. So like, that kind of does inspire me to just, you know, not be so down. And you know, because sometimes being in a small town can get you down a little bit, because you know you want to be out on the coast and doing all that fun stuff. But you just remember, like, the beauty of being in a small town is, you know, everyone knows who you are. And I mean, I know a lot of people have a problem with that, but I really don't.
Yeah. I get you. I feel the same way. Hey, like, it's all about that identity and feeling strong in who you are, you know. Did your parents, did that come from your parents or your grandparents, that sort of pride?
Yeah, I think, definitely my grandparents. It's definitely been passed down a little bit. Because I remember driving to work one day and I was feeling super down. This was a couple of years ago, and I was kind of hating myself. And I remember I was driving, and on my way to work, some random person waved at me, and it was that small thing that kind of, made me feel a lot better. And I don't know why it was so small, but yeah, to someone waving to me as they're driving past, I didn't even know who that was, but yeah, it done something to me, and it definitely changed me. But
yeah,
that's something that'll stick with me, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's important to stay humble and,
of course.
And keep that pride. You know, I think what you guys are doing is awesome. And you've, like I said before, you definitely got a new monthly listener. Do you have any inspirations that you guys sort of listen to? Like, who are you sort of listening to daily?
That's a good question. There's actually a band. They're called South Summit.
I've heard of South Summit.
Yeah,
we'll have to chat with them.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they've got this song called "Giving It Up," and you know how
I listen to that like daily.
That song changed me. Like, yeah, it's so good. Like, you know how there's this, like, sometimes, once every so often, someone will release a song and it's perfect. It couldn't be any better. That's that song.
Yeah, I love that. What do you think makes a perfect song?
Oh, that's another good question. To be honest, I probably wouldn't know.
You're still striving for it, eh?
Yeah, we're trying to find out what that is. Yeah, if anyone can help us out, let us know.
what do you think? What's next for Kicked In Bicky Tin? I know you said it before, but you know what? How can people find you? What else do you want to share with the listeners of AAA today?
Well, we to find us, mate, you can find us on Spotify, all streaming platforms, actually. Our main one would be Instagram. We always find messages on Instagram. And when people message us nice stuff, it is really motivating. It makes you want to go and pick up a guitar and do some more stuff. But, you can always chat to us. We reply to everyone. But we would consider ourselves a really approachable band. So, you know, even if you see us anywhere, I'm not saying you know what we look like, but if you're ever feeling down as well, like, you know, hit us up. We are probably one of the most forward-coming band, and we reply to everyone. We always love to hear what you're thinking.
That's awesome. I love that message. You know, and that's something that's really important, I think, for a band to be, is sort of the open to
approachable. Yeah, come at us, yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have any upcoming gigs around the place?
Yeah, we do. So we've got the Deep End tour, which is promoting our new song. So we're going to start in Moree, head out to Port Macquarie at Finian's Tavern. We've never played at Port. But if you're around that area, come check us out. That's on the 4th of July.
Awesome.
In Byron, we've never played in Byron as well. That's at the Northern on the 10th of July. Brisbane on the 11th, which will be the next day at Junk Bar.
On the 11th of July?
Yeah, 11th of July.
Too easy.
And then we're going to finish it off at Sunny Coast on the 12th, which will be a Saturday. We've got some cool bands all on that lineup as well. Like we are so excited.
That is so cool. I'm so excited. I'm definitely making it to that gig.
What, the Brisbane one?
The Brisbane one there.
Honestly, Brisbane's like our second home. I don't know what it is, but we played a lot of shows down there. But, yeah, that is like our second home. It feels very homely down in Brisbane.
Yeah, that's awesome. We'll have to share everything on our socials, eh?
Of course, yeah. And, again, if you see it on there, come have a chat with us. We reply to everyone.
That's awesome. Did you have any message you want to share? Last thoughts out of your head? I know it's always hard to think of everything that you want to say. But yeah, the mic is yours.
All right.
Anything.
It's a good question.
I feel like maybe you've said everything you want to say, eh?
I hope I don't repeat myself, but no. If I was to say anything, if you can make it out to our shows, definitely come out. Some of those shows are ticketed, but I mean, look, if you can't afford it, definitely reach out. We would much prefer you guys to come to our shows and enjoy yourself than to stay home. And if I had a good message out there to everyone listening, just do what you want to do. There's a lot going on in the world. Everyone's not having a really nice time. I mean, if you are, that's beautiful. But just help each other out. If someone needs help, you know, reach out to them. Like I said, when we play here in Moree, we've come from possibly generations after generations of people who play music who are willing to help each other out. So it just takes one person to start that
flow on effect. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow. Thanks for that message. And so, quick shout out, Sean Mills, Zach Hauser, and John Fing, right?
Gotcha. Yeah, that's it.
You legends. Thanks so much for joining the chat today.
No, it was really good. I appreciate you guys having us.
Yeah, no, and we'll have to have you again maybe next time you guys are in Brisbane. And yeah, come into the studio and do some recording, eh?
Cool. Yeah, we're so keen. Don't worry.
Thanks so much, Wawa. You have listened to Triple A's Let's Talk Black Culture with Sienna Mayador Muddy Stubbs, and we've just had Sean Mills on. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate everyone's time.
You are so welcome. Anytime.
Love you all.
Do you know your word for goodbye, or how do you sign off usually?
Oh, we we usually just sign off with saying we love you all and goodbye.
Matt, we love you all and goodbye. Na mayalala. Thanks so much, everyone.